my name is Petra, but I'm known as Magenta Pixie. I was just telling a couple of people earlier, that originally was my YouTube username. And when I first started my YouTube channel in 2008, I had no idea that I would have lots of subscribers and that my videos would be watched, so I didn't really think that much about what username to use. So I just sort of picked something out the top of my head, Magenta and Pixie. It was all a bit of an experiment. Had I known, I would have lots of viewers. I might have thought more about the name. But it's stuck and it's become my business name and my magical name, and my friends call me Magenta. So although my name is Petra, most people know me as Magenta now. I've been in communication with a higher consciousness now for about 20 years, started consciously in 1993. It actually occurred earlier than that when I was a child, but I don't count that so much. When I say a higher consciousness, I'm talking about a group of beings. These are extraterrestrial beings, angelic. These are an aspect of one's own consciousness, a higher self, a future self. These are individualized representations of the Akashic records. Whatever you want to call it, that's what they are. And ultimately, it's a source consciousness. It's a source perspective. It's an aspect of ourselves that is kind of larger than us, greater than us. Each and every person has this with them, and each and every person can communicate with them. Everybody does it in different ways. It doesn't necessarily have to be done through channeling, through words. It can be done through music, through writing, it can be done through dance, and all aspects of creativity, and everybody does this. But with me, I consciously went into a channeling experience. It's what I looked for. And I'd like to explain briefly this sort of story, really, about how I came to be in contact with this consciousness. I affectionately refer to them as the white-winged collective consciousness of nine, and I will explain why. I now know that that's about the longest name for any guides that anyone has, but that's how they appeared to me. So if I briefly talk about how I came to be in connection with them, and then I would like to talk about why I'm in connection with them and what their information is and what their messages are. So going back to 1993, I had been through an experience I suppose many would call the dark night of the soul. It's very common when you move into a spiritual awakening experience to go through what I called at the time a crash down. But really, it is, if anyone is familiar with the tarot deck, there is a card in the tarot deck called the Tower. And it's a really good card, but it's also a card of chaos. It's where everything crashes down and is rebuilt. So that's really what happened to me in my life at the time. I had come out of a 10-year marriage. I'd left my house with all my belongings. I left with just a bag, and that was it. I'd sold everything. I'd left all my friends behind. I'd moved to another area. So I had definitely had this crash down, if you like, and at the time perceived it as being something awful that I had to rebuild my life from. But I found myself in a situation where I was kind of thrown into a kind of spiritual awakening. I hadn't necessarily consciously asked for it at that time, but I found myself through a series of synchronicities in a sort of scary situation where I was picking up the thoughts of other people, sensing things. It was really confusing at the time, and I didn't really understand what was happening to me. But unbeknownst to me, my brother, who was 4 years younger than me, had also been through a similar experience, and we'd never shared it, because all I ever did with my brother was argue. I always thought of him as my annoying younger brother. One day we got together and had a long chat, and it turned out that we were both going through similar experiences, and it just so happened that this flat became available. My friend didn't want. I was wanting to look for somewhere. My brother didn't want to stay at home with my parents anymore. So to cut a long story short, we took this flat and we moved into this flat. And I was there with my brother for 6 months. In that 6 months, it was like, it was just an unbelievable experience. It was like something out of this world. It was just non-stop synchronicity and exploration and discovery. And it was just crazy, and I think I did go a little bit crazy at the time. I now know what was happening to me. It's called fast tracking. It's where you go through a spiritual experience and it just happens over and over again, day after day. You research this and you find that and you meet this person and synchronicity happens and you find a book and it just goes on and on. It's called fast tracking and it's not easy, but it's amazing. So my brother and I went through this experience, and there was this one particular day, and I'd come to a point where I was feeling things all the time, and some of you may relate to this. This one particular day, the New Forest Post newspaper came through the door. And I don't know if any of you have ever just seen a book or a newspaper or a television program or even a building and just known you've had to go in there or you know you've got to read something in there. This is what was happening. This newspaper was on the floor and it was just calling to me. And I was thinking, there's something in this newspaper I've got to read. So I'm flipping through all the pages and finally I come upon this one page where this advert just jumps out at me, and literally that's how I perceived it. It's coming out of the page and staring at me like this. And it was a spiritualist church that was local, and a medium was doing a talk. I'd never been to a spiritualist church, I'd never seen a medium work. I said to my brother, we have to go to this. So of course we went, and I watched this medium work, and I was absolutely fascinated, and I'd never seen anything like it in my life, and I just thought it was amazing. And the whole time I was listening to this medium, I was picking up things for myself. And afterwards, I said to my brother, I'm going to do that one day. But I'm not going to do it like that medium. I'm going to do it differently. And he said, what do you mean? I said, I don't know. I'm going to do something similar, but not like him. I'm going to be a medium for other mediums. And my brother said, why would other mediums need a medium when they're a medium themselves? I said, I don't know. I don't know what this means. I then went home, and over the next few days, I went through a very intensive visionary experience where I was picking up all sorts of visions and picking up things about my future. I actually thought I was going really crazy at the time. I saw a vision of myself with headphones on, talking to people all over the world, mostly in America. And I was like, you know, 20 years in the future. And I remember thinking, I've never worn a pair of headphones in my life except to listen to my record player. Why would I be talking to people all over the world? Why in America? Am I going to go to America? Maybe I'll be on the radio. So this is just one of many things that were occurring at that time. And it was a few days later, my brother and I went to a bookshop. And again, the same thing happened. As I was walking past the bookshop, I'm getting this energy, and I'm looking and I'm thinking, I have to go in that bookshop. There's a book I must read. And I don't know if this has ever happened to any of you or if you've ever heard of this, but sometimes you can go into a bookshop and literally there's a book sticking out, or one literally in front of you just falls on the floor. This is actually what happened. It was sticking out, and as I walked towards the bookshelf, it fell on the floor. And I'm like, I have to read this book, what's going on, you know. Picked it up, and the book was called Channeling. Now, I'd never heard of channeling at the time, but I knew that this was for me. I knew I had to read it. So I went home and I read this book. And I said to my brother, this is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to be a medium like that guy we saw the other day at the spiritualist movement. I'm going to do channeling. But I don't know how to start. So this book was all about a meditation. I'd never meditated before. I had used self-hypnosis. My father was a hypnotherapist. He was actually a stage hypnotist because he was an opera singer. Then he moved into hypnotherapy as a therapy. And when I was 11 years old, he taught me hypnosis. And at the time, I was the only subject that he worked with that actually talked back to him. I actually remember at 11 years old, there would be like a split in my consciousness and an aspect of me would move backwards. And then this other aspect of me would come forwards. This is the aspect my father called the subconscious, so I would name it Subby. So from the age of 11, I had Subby as a personification, if you like. So I learned to channel, if you like, back at the age of 11, but I didn't realise what I was doing. It's only much later that I've put everything together as to how it's sort of gone into place for me. And this is how it works with everyone. Our whole lives are mapped out, and when we take a spiritual journey, then we can look at all these series in our lives as to why things have happened and why we had to do the things we did when we were 3 and 5 and 10, and which leads us to now. So I read this book about channeling. It was a book about meditation, and it was talking about going into meditation and meeting your true guide. So I really wanted to meet my true guide. The book did say that you may meet lots of false guides to start with. Well, of course, anyone reading a book like that, if you're in a suggestible state and you're ready for an awakening, you may well find yourself in a situation where you do meet false guides. And that's exactly what happened to me. I went into meditation every single day, more than once, and went back into the same meditation to meet my true guide. And for quite some time, I would meet false guides. And they would pretend to be my true guide, and then they would change form, and they'd do silly things, and I'd say, "Are you my true guide?" And they'd say, "Oh no, I'm not," you know, that sort of thing. And it did say in the book to ask if your guide is your true guide, and that they won't lie. And this actually was happening. When I'd say, "Are you my true guide?" they would admit and say, you know, "You've sussed me out, I'm not," this sort of thing. And it just went on and on. And I was practically at the point of giving up and saying to my brother, "I'm not going to meet my true guide. I just keep meeting these false guides, and they all look really weird, and it's great fun, but they're not my true guide." This one particular day, I'm sat in meditation, visualizing this pathway. I've actually created a meditation on my YouTube channel now that is very similar to that original one. So if anybody wants to do this process, I do have that video on my channel, and it's called Meditation to Meet Your Spirit Guide or Higher Self. It's not the same meditation as in the book. It's one that is more in alignment with me. And what I always say to people now is to ask the guides, "Are you of Christ consciousness?" That's a really good energy to use. And they, again, won't lie. Because you are speaking to an aspect of yourself that comes from truth. So anyway, this one particular day, this being walked towards me, and I didn't even have to ask it. I say it because I really don't know if it was male or female, and probably a male presentation. But I just didn't need to ask, "Are you my true guide?" I knew, because everything had changed at that point in my meditation from a visual clairvoyant images that was all coming from sight into, in that one split second, it all became feeling. My heart opened and the whole body was responding. So it was like falling in love. It was like love at first sight, but much more powerful than we experience on a human level. And it took my breath away, made me want to cry. It was just absolutely profound at the time. And I, you know, felt just overwhelmed. And eventually, once I got over this overwhelmed feeling, I actually said, "You are my true guide, aren't you?" And he replied, "Yes." So we started to have some conversations. And from then on, I would go into meditation and meet this being. At first, he was sort of a little bit like a wizard, like Gandalf, I think, out of Lord of the Rings, with like a long white robe. And I would say, well, all the other sort of channels, because I'd been researching channeling and mediums and New Age channels by that time. I'd been reading books and things. So I said, all the other channels have got like a guide. So are you my guide? And he showed me a form. He presented himself as a Red Indian. And I said, "Oh, everyone seems to have a Red Indian. Can I not have something different?" So he changed then to a Zulu warrior. And I thought, yeah, that sounds like me. So I worked with this presentation of a Zulu warrior for a long time. That's the energy that I would meet in the meditation. I asked if he had a name, and he said I could name him. I named him White Spirit. It sounded sort of right. And he told me he was from the fifth dimension. So we had lots and lots of dialogue in meditation. I would ask tons and tons of questions, and I didn't really understand a lot of the information that was coming back. And my brother had studied spirituality, if you like, more than me. He'd studied Buddhism and all sorts of other religions. So he had lots and lots of questions that I couldn't even think of. One of the questions, he just finished reading The Many Worlds Theory of Quantum Mechanics, so he was asking about quantum theory. I didn't know anything about this, and so I would speak to White Spirit, and then he would show me that, you know, there's me, and there's many, 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 many me's in all these different realities, and many, many, many of my brother in a different reality, and many, many planet Earths, and it was all quite mind-blowing, and I didn't really understand it. But I would have to go into meditation to find White Spirit, ask the question that my brother had asked me, find the answer, come back out of meditation, and refer it back to my brother. And so this went on for quite some time. I really don't remember how long. It was quite a blur. And then one day he asked me a question. I said, okay, I think I've got it. I'll go into meditation. And then all of a sudden, something shifted. And it was like I was in meditation while I was awake. And I could see White's spirit. And I just said to my brother, he's here. I can feel him. I can see him. I can't believe it. I thought I had to go in meditation. How come I can speak to him now? So back then, because it was such a profound awakening and such an experience, I would get quite ungrounded with it. I would think, what's going on? And my brother was like, really? Can you really see him? So that was it. I mean, he was just asking me question after question, and I was bringing things forward. White Spirit was showing me how to read individuals, showing me the matrix field around individuals. That many know this is the aura, but I was shown it as a series of electrical lines, wavy lines, mandalas, frequencies, all of these things. And I think one day there was a question my brother asked, I don't remember what it was, but I asked White Spirit the question, and he said, oh, I don't know the answer to that, I'm going to have to go and ask my guides. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then I saw him climb up this little ladder and disappear. And so I'm waiting and waiting, and, you know, looking at my brother, he's gone up a little hole, you know, he's disappeared. And finally he came back with the answer. So I said, where did you go? So this led to a whole more series of questions about the dimensional ladder, how each guide has a guide themselves. They're all aspects of us. But it took me a long time to understand all this and work this out. During this period, White Spirit said to me, because we've had this amazing 6 months, I was going to astrology courses and going to a positive living, went to my first positive living group and saw mediums work and psychic artists and listened to talks, and it was just amazing. And the synchronicity, you know, coincidences, meaningful coincidences, were just profound and occurring on a daily basis. It was so mind-blowing that I actually thought, I can't live like this, I'm going to go crazy. And at one point, White Spirit said, with expansion, with fast track expansion, what we're doing is if you liken your mind to a volcano, and this happens with many people, there are people who have expanded the mind and that volcano has blown. So, you know, you're talking about insanity. That has happened to people before. Nobody needs to get worried about that, though, because I'm talking about people who've gone up in one stream and not in balance. If you move forward in balance with meditation and doing all what you're doing, coming to positive living, there's no chance of that. It's all occurring in balance. Everyone here is in balance, I can see that. So, but that's what they told me. They said to me about the volcano, and they said, in order to take you to expansion of the highest level, we need to take you right up to the point just before the volcano blows. So, you know, your mind is just absolutely bombarded with all these concepts, and you just cannot process them all. But what he said to me is, we will never allow the volcano to explode with you. It will not happen. So that was one thing that they said to me, which was reassuring, because I did think I was going crazy. And I'm talking about things like, one day, my brother and I would wake up, and I'd look around, and I'd think, this is a different room, and this floor is a different floor, and oh my goodness, my arm is a different arm, and my skin is different skin. You know, this is really ungrounded thinking, but as I said, it was a mind-blowing, expansive process. I now know what I was experiencing was a quantum shift. When we upgrade, we shift quantum realities. It happens all the time. And we're not aware of it. That's why some people get deja vu. But when we move into a spiritual awakening, we become aware of these quantum shifts. But back then, I was aware of it to the point where I was allowing it to freak me out. Like, oh, my fingers are new fingers. I've never had them on my hand before. That's being ungrounded. It's really common. And I was young, and, you know. And being ungrounded back then taught me what it means to be ungrounded. And how can you truly understand balance and being grounded if you haven't been ungrounded. We live in a reality of contrast. So anything we need to experience in this life, we experience the opposite, and then we can truly understand and appreciate that which we want to experience. That's what was happening to me. One of the things that White Spirit said to me at that time is, this 6 months that you've experienced with your brother, all this amazing synchronicity and mind-expanding situation, is a rehearsal. The reason they said this to me is at the time I was involved in drama. I'd actually been doing drama since the age of 9, and I was from a theatrical family. My mother was a dancer, my father was an opera singer and an actor. So I'd been acting since I was 9 years old. So they would, White Spirit used the same terminology. This is a rehearsal, a dress rehearsal. Oh, because dress rehearsal is pretty important, you know, but it's not the actual show. Okay, so when's the show? We will tell you. So what they were talking about at the time was a change on this planet, really significant change, and that many, many people were being told about this. This was in 1993, which I now know was a pretty significant year for people. Many channels have written all sorts of profound information in 93 and had it published several years later. And so I was told that many people were being given the same information. Something was happening to the planet. It was raising in frequency, known as the ascension process. And I was going to be part of it, and I would be teaching about this. But what would be most important, I would be gathering with others like me. Well, that really made me listen, because right from a very young age, as young as about 2 or 3, and many of you, I'm sure, will relate to this, I felt like I was lonely, as in there was a bunch of people out there I was supposed to meet. I knew it from a very young age. I didn't know where they were, but I thought, I've come here to find a group of people and connect with them for some reason. That's why I'm here. So I knew this right from a child, which is why I went into drama, because that's where the people that I related to most were, because they were very creative, expansive people. And I thought that was the people I was looking for. When White Spirit told me I was going to be connecting with a group, well, I wanted that sort of tomorrow. So when is the show time, and when am I going to connect with these people? We'll let you know. So this went on, and they didn't let me know, and they never did tell me, well, they did, but not when I hoped them to. I was expecting it to happen, you know, very soon, within months at least. But it didn't happen, and I think I got to the point where I kind of, in a way, I wondered if that period, those 6 months, was a bit of a crazy time. And I kind of gave up a little bit. I always had White Spirit there, but I moved away from this flat with my brother, so we didn't really have each other to bounce off anymore. We would have been spiritual partners at that time and went through a sort of separation as we moved on with our lives. So what I then did, I worked with White Spirit with certain people. I was very private about my spirituality. I didn't tell anyone that I was a channel, except for the odd person that I knew was similar to me. I gave the odd reading with tarot cards, I gave the odd reading with speaking to White Spirit, but even my parents, well, my father knew, but my stepmother and my stepfather and my mother didn't know. I had close friends I've been friends with for years who didn't know, and it was something I kept private. So I went on with my life, and you know, challenges and everything else, just like everyone else. And fast forward to 2008. And at that time, I'd been practicing for a few years before to use the internet. For some reason, I felt it was really important to use the internet, so I was like learning how to use it. And in 2008, I started... No, I'll go back a bit, sorry. There was an upgrade in my... in the presentation of White Spirit, and this occurred before I released the videos, a few years before. There was one time when I was sort of speaking to White Spirit and I was working with another spiritual person, and all of a sudden, that same kind of shifting feeling that I'd had before, and I suddenly felt White Spirit had evolved, and in White Spirit's place was what looked like an angel with white wings and a long white robe. And this being told me that it's he, she, 50% he, 50% she, it's always both. When you are a female, you will usually present with a male presentation most of the time. When you are a male, you will present with a female presentation most of the time. That's how the polarity works. So, you know, it was always usually a male, but not always. So he then said to me that there'd been an upgrade because my understanding had reached another level. So it was just a metaphor for my own expansion, and that this being was now a sixth dimensional entity rather than fifth. So I thought, oh, okay, I had an upgrade, that's good. And I just remember speaking to a spiritually aware friend of mine who said, can you ask your guides this particular question? And I said, what do you mean, guides? I've only got one. And he said, it's always a collective, it's always a group. I said, is it? Oh. So a few days later, I remember this one being moving into several. And I thought, and that was very overwhelming because it just felt different. It felt like a whole crowd behind me. And so I counted them, and there were nine. And asked them who they were, and they said that, you know, it's only us that really need to give them names. They don't necessarily have names, and even if they did have a name, it's unpronounceable on this planet anyway. So I named them. Well, they looked like angels, but they were more than angels. I knew they weren't just angels. They were so much more. So I named them the white winged, because they had white wings, collective consciousness of nine. Since that time, they've shown me other presentations. They lose the form completely of this angelic form, and they are color, frequency, mandalas, shooting through a vortex, you know, you name it really, but that's the sort of more truthful presentation. It helps me to have the focus of the nine. That's because they talk to me about these different incarnational rays that we incarnate upon. And I'm of the indigo frequency. An indigo person is very analytical, so it's quite good for them to have a focus. But other beings, other humans, are crystal beings. They're much more being in themselves rather than analytical. They are often healers. They don't necessarily need a focus. They work with the entire cosmos as a sea of energy, Akashic records, if you like. So going back to 2008, I'm talking to the nine by this time, and they were talking to me just very casually. They said, do you remember that time when you were told that you were in a dress rehearsal? I said, yes, because I never thought that this would come, that I'd given up. It was 20 years. And they said, well, now it's showtime. I said, what now? What do you mean today? What, the ascension's today? I said, well, now, as in this period in your time. Oh, okay, well, what do I have to do? And they said, it's time to go public. And I said, go public? Well, what do you mean? Do you mean you want me to tell people that I'm a clairvoyant and a psychic and that I talk to you? Yes. What, everybody? Yes. Okay, fine. How do I do that? I mean, they talked about it's the time of the great gathering. These people you're looking for, you're going to meet them now. And now you're going to be a medium for mediums, because all the people you're going to meet are in touch with their own connection. So where do I meet these people? So I was thinking, you know, is it Bournemouth? Is it Southampton? Is it, you know, London? And they pointed to the internet, and I'm like, oh! You know, so I was really a bit naive with it all, I have to say. So I started researching online, looking through all the spiritual networks, and I found lightworkers.org and starseed.net, and then I found YouTube, and I found this guy on YouTube called Ricer5, not sure if any of you have heard him, from America. He's got these amazing videos with all these swirling mandalas, and it's just a total stream of consciousness that's pouring out of him. He sort of channels differently to me, but I knew that what I did was similar. And at the time, my partner Daniel here was really wanting to make a YouTube video. It's ever so funny, actually. A couple of weeks prior, my brother and Daniel were talking about YouTube, both wanting to make sort of acting videos, write a script, get on YouTube, wouldn't it be fun? And I looked at them both and I said, you know, I think one of you two is going to get quite well known on YouTube. I don't know which one of you it's going to be. But I wasn't really interested. Well, of course, it's turned out it's actually me that became known on YouTube. But what actually happened was I said to Daniel, he'd been asking me for a long time, because I'd done a creative writing course, write a play or a screenplay, and we'll film it and edit it and get it up on YouTube. And I said, yeah, I will, I'll do it. And then I'm busy researching spiritual things. And the next day, you know, when are you going to do this play. Oh, yeah, I will. Then I'm researching spiritual things. So I then said to Daniel, you see this guy, Ricer, he's sort of channeling the stream of consciousness and there's all these sort of images behind and he's made a video. If I were to bring forward my sort of channeling, and I haven't really shared this that much with Daniel up to the point, I mean, he knew what I did, but I hadn't shared it fully because, as I said, I was quite private with what I was doing. It was something I never really intended to share consciously. And he said, yeah, great, I want to get on YouTube, whatever, I'll do that. So I would work through writing, mostly. So I would tune in to the nine, bring their energy forward, and then write it out. And then I would speak it, record it. And back then, all we had was a really cheap microphone, $2.99 from Argos. And Daniel made the video for me, and we uploaded the first one. And I was a bit nervous about uploading a video, and I thought, what if people write to me and say it's awful? And surprisingly, people were interested, and people started asking a couple of questions, so another video. And then once I realised people were interested, because I thought, if there's just one person interested in the messages I receive, because I'd always wondered, why is it that I've got all this knowledge? Is it just for me? Aren't I supposed to share it? You know, well, obviously both of those are true. It is for you, and it is for you to share it, and it's always your choice. But these messages just came constantly. I mean, daily. I'd wake up in the middle of the night, and there'd be this big cloud of energy, and I'd wake up and get the pen and paper and write it out. And Daniel couldn't keep up with the amount of messages that were coming, so he taught me how to make a video myself. And yes, I can make one. Am I good at them? Not really. Daniel's amazing at making videos. Most of them are his. But I did make some myself so that we could get them out quicker. It's calmed down a bit now, 2014. And so this is kind of where I am today. So I released my first video in 2008. And I've now got over 300 videos. I'm not sure, 330. And 21,000 subscribers, or 20, I can't remember how many, most in America. So that vision 20 years ago of me with headphones on speaking to people all over the world, mostly in America, has come true. So really I'd like to tell you the kind of information that I've been receiving from the nine. One of the main questions is, who are they? And why are they talking to me? And as I said to you before, every single human being is able to expand into a state where they are able to change their brainwave frequencies. Somebody earlier was mentioning the left-right brain. So this is really what it's all about. We have the left hemisphere of the brain and the right hemisphere of the brain. And the idea is to come into balance so that the left hemisphere is equal to the right hemisphere. Most people on this planet are predominantly left-brained. There are a few that are right-brained. The idea is to be both. And when you expand the left-brain way of thinking and the right-brain way of thinking in balance together, then you become, and this is something that we've been taught in society, is something that's so outside of us, we become a genius. And this isn't something that is some great powerful thing that only Albert Einstein managed to achieve. Every single human being on this planet, their natural state is to be a genius. Every single one of them. It's not some amazing thing. It's the norm for the organic, natural human being who lives in harmony with this planet. And we've lost our way, if you like, on this planet. We no longer live in harmony like the indigenous peoples did. Living in harmony with nature, being guardians of this planet, that's what it's all about. And so this is one of the main messages, really. One of the most important things was the call, and every single person here in this room, otherwise you wouldn't be here, or be part of that. The nine have explained to me, and this is a metaphor, if you were to imagine the whole of planet Earth, and somewhere along the line, planet Earth, if you like, has been infiltrated. It's all true, but it's only one perspective. And it's been held down in frequency. Yes, some group has done this to this planet, but on a higher level, we wanted this so that we could experience contrast and we could experience duality so that we could find freedom. So we can be very angry about the fact that our planet's been held down in frequency deliberately, but when we realise that it's also part of our expansion, then we can let go of the anger and then start to work with it. So if you imagine that this planet is held down in frequency, there has to be a certain amount of human individuals that get to the point where they give out a cry for help, if you like, a call for help. So when a certain amount of individuals, and it's called critical mass when it gets to that point, when a certain amount of individuals call, please help us, you know, whoever it may be, God, Jesus, aliens, whoever, please help us, please come, please do something about this planet. When it gets to a certain level, then that call is heeded. But there's certain free will boundaries, free will laws in place in this universe that cannot be overstepped. They are sometimes overstepped, but not by those of the higher light. And so this call was put out throughout this multiverse, throughout all these universes, for souls, beings, to come and incarnate into the planet. Because when an incarnation comes in as a human incarnation, it's not stepping over free will, because it's being done from the human level. So we're looking at beings from planetary systems that we know as the Pleiades and Sirius and Arcturus, and we're looking at higher dimensional beings, elemental beings, but predominantly these are souls that have already been through a third dimensional experience, and that's what this planet is. It's a third dimensional experience. These beings have been through that already. The other way of explaining this, and this is where it gets really deep, is every single person has been through this experience, but we don't become that expanded aspect until we're aware of it. So if we don't have any spiritual awareness, we're a third dimensional being. Only when we become aware, we shift our quantum reality, we then become a star seed, or whatever word you want to call it, we then become that being that has been through a third dimensional experience already. It's also about memory. When a soul is birthed in its original spark, it goes through a series of incarnations, and sometimes that soul can repeat patterns over and over and need to recycle itself, if you like. It's not really a recycling. There isn't really any word in our language to explain what happens to the soul. But the soul changes and starts again and is rebirthed again. But then that soul might learn something, do something that's quite profound, raise the frequency of that soul, therefore memory is retained. Not necessarily consciously, otherwise it would be difficult for us to incarnate, but memory is retained within the DNA. So the knowing is there when they're incarnated. So many individuals have incarnated over thousands of lifetimes and have retained individualized memory. That is also the same thing as going beyond a third dimensional experience. So this call was put out, and many, many souls answered this call. And when those souls are in a higher dimensional consciousness, their soul structure is in a higher dimensional consciousness, they find it hard to conceive of a third dimensional experience. So even though they're told, metaphorically, if you incarnate on planet Earth, you are going to be subject to the law of karma, you are going to be, it's going to be challenging and difficult, you might regret your decision to incarnate, or, you know, this is all a translation, really. It comes from such service and such love and such light that any darkness is inconceivable. So it's not until the soul incarnates and starts to live as a human, especially the crystals, they can find themselves in life as like, this planet is horrible. What am I doing here? I shouldn't have incarnated on this planet. I'm in the wrong place. They may even remember that they came in service, and then they regret it and they put me back. I don't want to be here. All of this is absolutely normal because once that awareness and awakening takes place, that feeling of not wanting to be here because this place isn't home. We know somewhere else is home, if you like. So all those feelings are completely normal. And I see lots and lots of clients who struggle with this. The paradox to this is you can't actually start to live your mission here on this planet and work with the whole reason why you came in until you accept that you're here and learn to love Earth as home, because loving Earth as home is what draws the higher dimensional energy into Earth. And this is what's created the whole raising of the frequencies. We're now in 2014, and this planet is raising in frequency at an exponential rate. And you will hear many speakers now talk about the ascension of the planet. I mean, this is proven as well scientifically. We do actually have on this planet, and I'm no scientist, but we have Schumann resonance. And you can research this online. There's a guy talking about this, David Wilcock. You can go on his website. And the Schumann resonance has actually risen in frequency. And scientists have no idea why. So all of this is happening. It's really happening. It can be looked at scientifically. It's also happening biologically. Everything that's happening to the planet is happening inside our bodies. So our frequency is raising inside our bodies as well. This isn't necessarily something we can see, because scientists, when they look at our DNA, they will take 5% or 10% and look at the genetic material, and they're able to code that. But the rest of the DNA, they call junk. That junk is the nine, and is the higher self, and is the quantum aspect. It's out of time, it's non-linear, and that's the part that the spiritual awakened people are activating. They are activating these strands of DNA within their bodies. Many people call this the light body. That's another way to explain it. Other people talk about the Merkaba, activating your Merkaba. This is another thing that can be sort of perceived as being really complicated. There's a lot of speakers out there talking about activating the Merkaba and sitting in meditation and spinning your triangle one way or the other. All absolutely valid, all absolutely true. But it's not quite as complicated. Every single person I have ever seen, when they talk about how can I activate my Merkaba magenta, I look at them and their Merkaba has already started to activate. It happens naturally. It happens naturally through expansion, through learning, through spiritual awareness, through meditation, through love, through connection. You don't need to actually follow any sort of pattern. You can, because that's really, really helpful. The main message, really, from the nine is, when you're out there following all this teaching, you're reading books and listening to channels and listening to people speak, including myself, the one teacher that you need to listen to above all else is the one you see when you look in the mirror. That is their ultimate teaching. It's always you. Always you. You are the one that's following this path, because from that perspective, from Source perspective, looking down into the third dimension, there's only one soul. And this soul is currently experiencing 7 billion different incarnations simultaneously, but from that perspective, there's only one. All of us are the same soul. So it has to be you as your number one. And the metaphor that the nine have taught me to teach people is, I see a lot of people who follow this teacher or that teacher. What do you think of what this channel said, Magenta? Or what do you think of this book? Great, all of them. But what I would say is, think of a circle. And around that circle are all your teachers. They can be videos, books, channels, teachers, television programs, crystals, whatever they may be. And you are in the center of that circle. So that all around you, there is your guides and your teachers, but you are the central point. Many people put another teacher in the center. They then become a follower of that person's teaching. When you're a follower of that person's teaching, you've lost your own self. So you put yourself in the center, and then you use all the other people that you want to and all the people you resonate with as your guidance system, but you are standing in the central point, and this gives you your balance. So before we open up to sort of questions, I'd like to just quickly share some of the teachings that they have taught me. I've spoken already about the individualization of the soul's path, and polarity. Duality. In order to experience oneness, we have to experience duality and polarity, as in that contrast, as in if we want to know white, we need to experience black, that sort of thing. They talk about the zero point field, which is the now moment, which is very much all the spiritual speakers talk about. Very, very important, because that takes you away from the past, takes you away from the future, draws you into the now. That's where you make all your decisions. That's where the law of attraction works. And that's another one of their main teachings. Although the nine call the law of attraction the law of magnetic attraction, they tell me it's very important to use the word magnetic because we are like magnets to our lives. And it's not just the book The Secret. It's wonderful, but it's not just about visualizing something and then waiting for it to come. It's about the entire vibration of the body and all the quantum cells and the molecular structure and all the thoughts. So we need to get ourselves into the zero point field and move into alignment before we start manifesting. Because we might manifest a shiny red car, we may get a shiny red car, but it might be, it might have tyres that don't fit, or the steering wheel doesn't work, or we get a shiny red car and then it doesn't work a week later. We want to move into an alignment where we're manifesting, and it's not just about things, where we're manifesting a reality where we move into our mission, where we discover why we're here, why did we incarnate, what's our mission. And when it comes to our mission, we all have a global mission and we have individual missions. They've spoken to me about different extraterrestrial races, and that is literal and metaphor. Some of the channels out there speak very literally, and that's absolutely understandable because we have a human brain, and our human brain is an interface that works between the dimensions into the third dimension. So it analyzes everything in a third dimensional way, a linear way. So when we talk about, I saw a reptilian, that is truth, but it's a literal interpretation of a dark energy or a light one. Reptilians can be incredibly light, and they're not too happy about being called dark all the time, I can tell you that. And they've spoken to me about the dark agenda and, those that have held the planet down deliberately and why they're doing it. I mean, if you do your research online, you'll hear about the Illuminati, the Cabal, prison planet, capturing one's incarnation so that you can't escape the incarnational will. It's all true. It's not untrue, but it's just one perspective. And there's a whole ladder of perspectives, and the way to truth is to look at all those perspectives. They speak to me about sacred geometry and how important it is to work with geometry. Trust what you're getting. Trust the dreams that you're having. There's no right way or wrong way to tune into this. And they talk about the language of light. The language of light is a universal cosmic language, which is that energy. And we translate it individually in our own unique way. And as I said, that can be through art, music. It can be through any kind of creativity. They speak to me about the crystal skull matrix as well, which I've got a little crystal skull with me here today. I've got this little one in Glastonbury. It was only about £12. It's made of a jasper crystal. You can acquire any kind of crystal skull as long as it's made of a crystal. And you can, every single crystal skull formed in crystal is a metaphor formed in matter. It is a collective consciousness, and they're able to tune into a matrix. There's a crystal skull matrix made up of 12 crystal skulls that are beyond this planet. They're actually made of extraterrestrial material, if you like. And that, again, is a metaphor. But they're like a storehouse of information. And when you have a crystal skull, all you have to do is look at that skull, tune into that skull, look into its eyes, and you will then be shown that crystal skull matrix. No, I say 12, they're actually 13, and the 13th skull is you, or the focus, the skull that you're using. But if you are told that there are actually 18 crystal skulls, or 100, then that's right for you. As I said, everything I've been told from the nine is my model. It's the way I make sense of the language of light. And because it's similar to other people's experiences, I'm able to teach it. But within that, I always teach that what the person is getting is correct, but not always. Somebody may be moving forward out of balance. And what I mean by that is, when you move forward in balance, you aren't just expanding into light and opening up to love. You move down into the shadow as well. And you bring up everything that's buried, everything that's hidden from this lifetime and many other lifetimes. If you leave this and you just expand into light, you're going to be off kilter, which is what happened to me 20 years ago when I'm all grounded and thinking my arms are different skin and all that, which was true, but not literal. They talked to me about the organic human template, the genius flow, which I've mentioned already, the enlightenment ascension. They talked to me about the rainbow bridge, which is the bridge between the third dimension and the fifth dimension, which is also the bridge between the two hemispheres of the brain. And what this also means is, when we are in a normal state of consciousness, I don't really know that much about brain waves, but I know we're in something like an alpha or beta state. And then when we move into an expanded state, perhaps through meditation, hypnosis, we're in a theta state. Well, the nine speak to me about beyond the theta state. There's more. And this can't be measured by scientists' equipment. Although some scientists in Russia have started to see this in some people. So that's the rainbow bridge, that's the expansion. And it isn't some weird and wonderful, amazing thing. It's normal. And it is the absolute right of every human being to access this and be their true selves. They talk to me about the incarnational rays, the diamond-like frequency, the indigo, the crystal, the blue ray. They talk to me about the divine feminine and the sacred masculine, which is the right and left hemisphere of the brain. The right hemisphere is the divine feminine. The left hemisphere is the sacred masculine. And they talk to me about the inner alchemical merge. So we're talking about alchemy, turning lead into gold. And what that means is we're turning a lead density, a frequency of lead in our DNA, into gold. Gold being also the golden mean. Anyone who's into mathematics, the golden mean frequency, if you study mathematics, you'll find that the golden mean frequency, all I know is, I'm not a mathematician or a scientist, but the golden mean frequency has a tone, it has a vibration, and we know it as bliss. So when we experience bliss, we are turning lead into gold. We're going through a state of alchemy. And this can be done through mind-altering experiences, you know, plants and things, or it can be done through a spiritual path and meditation. It's our choice which way we choose to move into that expansion. So the inner alchemical merge, another word for merge, is marriage. So the inner alchemical merge is a divine marriage. So when you hear channels talking about meeting their twin flame, the twin flame counterpart is yourself. It is the marriage within, the divine alchemical merge. When the divine alchemical merge takes place within, you will naturally attract a matching counterpart in your reality. So you'll meet somebody that is standing as your twin flame. That's because you are working with the law of magnetic attraction. So anyone who's in this kind of relationship where they have synchronicities, they feel like they've known each other, all these strange feelings. I mean, these couples can actually get together and within 24 hours they feel like they've known each other for 10 years. It's so profound and it's happening so much. That's because the individuals are going through the divine alchemical merge themselves, and so they've attracted it into their lives. Many people are going through a divine alchemical merge within, but they block it from occurring outside because they're in a state of loneliness and they're constantly saying, where's my twin flame? Why haven't I met my twin flame? I want to meet my twin flame now. It's really unfair that I haven't met my twin flame when my friend has. That is a block. You are manifesting more of the same. So you're manifesting not meeting your twin flame. You need to relax into that, let it go, move into the divine merge within, and it will happen. They talk to me about the Akashic Records, the law of magnetic attraction, and how you create your own reality, which I've spoken about. Also, on the Facebook advert that Jackie put up, the questions that I wrote there in that little bit of dialogue is, what is higher connection? Well, higher connection is exactly what I'm talking about. It doesn't need to be higher. It can be future connection, expanded connection. It's connection within. What does it mean to be in communication with the collective consciousness? Well, that's how that consciousness presents to me. So I am in a state of, when I'm speaking to the nine, I'm in a beyond the theta brainwave state. And this is what's so interesting. Many years ago, mediums, people who worked with hypnosis would go into a trance, deep hypnosis. Hypnotherapists knew these people as somnambulists. They would go very, very deep into a trance. But now, the energies are so conducive on this planet that we don't have to go into hypnosis or deep meditation in order to access a beyond the theta brainwave state. What we can do is be in that state while we're awake. And what that actually means is, when we're asleep, usually the subconscious mind is in the forefront, the subconscious mind takes a back seat. So the subconscious mind is doing the dreaming. when we're awake, it's the opposite. The conscious mind is in front, the subconscious mind is taking the back seat, seeing everything that's going on in the peripheral, but the conscious mind is what's working. What we do is we bring the two together, and we learn to do this, and we wouldn't do this in any rushed state. We would learn to do this at our own pace. What that means is when we're dreaming, we're in a lucid dream. We're aware that we're dreaming. We can control the dream. We have astral projection. We have clairvoyant dreams. We do remote viewing, all those things. And these aren't necessarily things to focus on. They're byproducts of spiritual awakening. They'll happen to everybody once you start moving into a spiritual expansive experience. And when you're awake, you move into channeling, higher connection. It's the same thing. So you are working with both hemispheres of the brain on a conscious level. Is this something we can all do, is a question I wrote on the bio. The answer to that is yes, 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 yes. And what are the reasons for this communication? Well, the reasons are, this is the way we are as humans. This is our divine map, if you like. This is our blueprint. We've had it taken away, either by choice or through infiltration, whichever perspective you look at. But the other reasons for that communication is, for now, on a linear level, we're in the year 2014, we're working with this great awakening. And everything is coming up to critical mass. So there's a critical mass of awareness of a certain subject, awareness of, you know, whatever it may be. It could be something to do with the shadow government. It could be something to do with the indigo frequency. We get to certain levels of awareness. So there are now, I'm not sure the exact figures, but the nine have shown me there are 7 billion people on this planet. And I think we're looking at over 2 million people who are awake and aware and connected, and that's growing all the time. It seems a small amount, and it seems like it's the minority, but the nine show me that one person who is awake holds this frequency of critical mass as if there were thousands of people inside them. So what I'm saying is, if there were 20 people in a room and 19 of them are not spiritually aware and one is, and they're all trying to think about something, the one that's spiritually aware holds more power, if you like, with their manifestations through their thoughts because of the higher light. Another big question I get from people is, why am I so alone? Why have I not connected with the Great Gathering? Why don't I know anyone in my life that's like me? I feel so alone. Everyone thinks I'm odd. Everyone thinks I'm weird. And I've grown up feeling so different, like there's no one like me. Lots and lots of people ask me this, and yes, it is not easy to grow up and think that you're, you know, crazy and different and try and be like other people and it doesn't work. The reason being is because of this call I spoke about and all these starseed beings, if you like, expanded souls incarnating. What would be so great for them would be, if you look at the planet Earth and you look at yourself as being the higher light overseeing this planet, what would be so great for these incarnated souls would be to pick them all up and put them in one country together, so they're not really near anyone else. So they all live in the same country. They can all meet each other from the minute they're born, and they're all going to be having parties and gatherings and eating organic food and dancing and having a fantastic time while the rest of the world is sort of like lost. That wouldn't work, and there would be no point in them incarnating. So what actually has happened is each individual is strategically placed. So wherever you've been born and wherever you're guided to live, you know, you're a shining light in that area. And you are waking people up or expanding and raising the frequency of this planet just simply by being and by talking and by sharing and all those things. But everybody had to raise up at a similar time. If a light rises too early and there's not enough mass around that person, not enough support from the team, if you like, then those that want to hold the planet back can spot that person and bring them down. And that's exactly what has happened. There have been many wonderful individuals in the past, Nikola Tesla and, you know, Shakespeare, and that have been halted in their work. But the 2012 energy, which is around now, everyone's raising up together. So it becomes an army of light, if you like. Too many creative individuals all waking up together. Too many speakers at the same time. And it's impossible to keep them down, especially with the internet now. because everybody learns everything so quickly, everything goes viral very, very fast. So that's another reason why we were kept away from others. We may have been in situations where we knew one or two people that were like us, so we had a little bit of support. We may have found the odd group, but a lot of people actually haven't had anyone like them, and they've held on to their knowing about everything, and they've done this in a very lonely way until about now, since around 2008, really, gathering in momentum. 2012, everybody was hearing about sort of the 2012 shift and the 21st of December and all that. So, that's really my story and about the nine and who they are and their messages. Thank you.